The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Remember, backed by Morse, that's their price protection promise. See dealer for all the details. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, want to save money on a new Cadillac? Make sure it's backed by Morse. Our good friend Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ira and I love to go see him. Right now, not only can you lease a 2018 ATS sedan for just $279 a month, zero down, if you find a lower price on a new Cadillac, we'll match it or refund you $500. That's the price protection promise from Ed Morse. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is the star of the show. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. It is April 12th, Ira, right? 12th? How about
correct.
That?
That's correct.
I'm checking your calendar skills, Ira. I don't know how much rock and roll you've been listening to, but you can
still... 3 days before tax day, or is tax day April 17th this year? I can't remember, but it's coming.
All right, Ira, so we are here. We are fired up. The draft is now 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away. We're going to hear later about our big draft party coming up, Bucks Uncensored.
And the schedule could be 1 week away.
JoeBucksFan.com draft party. The schedule is around the corner, hours away. You never know when the NFL is going to drop it, which makes it exciting. And we've got plenty, plenty to talk about. I want to give you a little love, Ira. Your podcast, I was looking at some of the data on Apple Podcasts.
You're all about the metrics,
which
Steve.
Is iTunes. And like your last four or five podcasts, literally, most people, the average listening rate is 93% of the podcast. People make it all the way through to the end, which is stunning.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Lee, when you give a speech, the rule of thumb is if you talk past about eight or nine minutes, people are going to lose interest. Mm-hmm. They're not going to listen to a 25-minute speech. At least that's my attitude in the Hall of Fame room. Maybe I should change that because it ain't working for John Lynch. And by the way, Steve, Lee, we got to mention this. We're at lovely Hooters today instead of the park, and I got to say the scenery is quite a bit better than the park, Lee. Would you agree?
Oh, of course. We don't have any more revivals next door, as you would say.
Can you believe people are listening to, these are 45-minute podcasts, sometimes an hour, because Isbitz doesn't stop us if we get on a roll. That's a long time to occupy people's busy schedules.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Lee. In radio, it's a good listening. If somebody goes 15 minutes, that's a lot in radio. Here we are. 93%, and some of those are just me checking that it loads, and I only listen to 2 minutes. I've got enough of myself. I shut it off. It's crazy.
What's our rankings this week, Lee? Have you checked
14th.
It?
14th on Google Play.
I'm slipping. I was 9th a few weeks ago.
14th, all subjects, all genres on Google Play. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please leave a review for the podcast.
Good or bad, we don't care.
We don't care. And Podbean, you could subscribe there as well. Leave a review. We get to see them, so... We appreciate all the support for the podcast. And, of course, Ira, you heard all those great offers from our friends at Ed Morse, who continue to present your podcasts, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
You know, Steve, we got to mention that if the schedule comes out next week, that's going to impact the fan retreat stuff, too. So we got to mention that, too.
Of course. Take your time, Ira. Deep breath. Plenty. See, don't worry. No one's tuning out of the podcast. We know that. We know that for a fact.
Spread it out, baby.
Exactly. Now, Ira, let me throw something out there because I was talking to somebody about this just for some fun to inject a little curveball into the podcast. The Colts, the Indianapolis Colts own 3 second-round picks this year because of that trade with the Jets and their own crappy record. 3 good second-round picks. Ira, if the Colts pick their guy at number 6, right ahead of the Bucks, and then they turn around and ask the Bucks, hey, the other guy we want to trade with you. Will you take all 3 second-round picks for that number 7 pick? Do you make that deal, Ira?
And then you don't have a first-round pick.
Yep,
and you got a high. Where are the second spread out?
High second-round picks. 3 of them. 3 high second-round picks. Somebody asked me about this, and it's an intriguing prospect.
Intriguing. So you drop out of the first round. You're not going to get an elite player necessarily.
No, but you get three second-round picks, and then you have your own. So you have a 4th second-round pick.
I think in the long-range projections of the Tampa Bay Bucks, Lee, I think you got to do that.
4 second-round picks?
Then you would have 4 second-round picks. Well, now, you might be. You didn't tell me whether Barkley, Nelson, and Chubb are off the board. You didn't tell me that.
I didn't tell you anything. I just said if the Colts come to you and say, we'll give you all three of our second round picks for number 7 overall, after they pick at number 6, do you take the deal? I thought it was an interesting thing.
I absolutely take the deal.
Not only would you have 4 second round picks, that's ammo to move up in the latter part of the first round. Heck yeah, I'd take that deal.
I would take that deal, you know, because the Bucs are not looking for a quarterback, and if you take that deal and you're looking for a quarterback, that doesn't make any sense. Then you're not going to get your pick a quarterback. Bucs are not looking for a quarterback. 4 second round picks, that's potentially 4 starters, you know, because like Mr. A-, I'm going to stick with it. I trust Light in the draft. I do. I would make that deal.
An interesting thought. Somebody threw it by me, and I did a lot of study on the Colts this week. I really don't think they're going to trade down. They, in their minds...
Now, you're talking about the Colts only moving back one spot.
No, I'm not talking about them moving back. I'm talking about them making their pick at number 6.
So they would have back-to-back picks.
And then they come to the Bucs and say, look, we got a guy we want who's still there at number 7.
So they get 2 of the top 7 picks in the draft. All right.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, it's funny, Ira, you mentioned grading Jason Light. Now, that was on the headline of the last podcast, grading Jason Light's drafts. And I phrased it that way, Ira Talks grading Jason Light's draft, just to try to tweak Light and see if he'd have to go through the whole podcast to hear your intimate description of why he gets an A-.
And, of course, you don't know whether Light listened to the podcast or not.
I don't know, but I put that...
You didn't bug Light headquarters, did you? At one buck, you didn't bug him.
No, I didn't.
If we had to gather a guess, we'd say he listened to the podcast. We would say that.
Yeah, or he at least fast-forwarded through just to hear what the sage
had
to say.
He probably didn't mind an A-, because I didn't get any text from him or anything or any complaints, so... No bitching about the, hey, it should have been an A, you know.
Yeah, and Lee gave him a B, which I thought was much more fair. But, you know, hey, it's draft season. But, Ira, you know, you look at the Colts sitting there at number 6, and I don't think they're going to trade down. Maybe you guys disagree, but they already traded down. They've got 3 second-round picks.
I agree.
Got a number 6 premium pick there where they can go get an offensive lineman that everybody's screaming for in Indianapolis. It looks like Andrew Luck's coming back. You really think they're going to trade down? You think that's a shot, Lee? Because if they get overwhelmed with an offer, then what are they going to play, 7 rookies or something? I don't really see that.
The Colts, which is obvious since they pick right next to the Bucs, have massive needs. Bucs fans won't agree with this, and there's a number of Bucs fans they'll want to jump in Tampa Bay when I say this, but the Colts need an offensive lineman hell of a lot more than the Bucs. That's number 1. Number 2, apparently, if you listen to the right people, Chris Ballard is drooling for a defensive end. They don't have a critical need for a defensive end like they did a couple weeks ago before they got JBP, but can't tell me Chubb wouldn't look nice on the Bucs roster. And, of course, the Colts need a running back. The Bucs need a running back. So I could see the Colts doing that, trading back further. Whether that is with the Bucs, I don't know. But I could see that happening because they have more dire needs of multiple players than the Bucs have needs.
Yes, I agree with Lee. Your trade scenario is intriguing but highly unlikely.
Well, forget this.
The Colts are Super Bowl contenders.
Throw the scenario out the window. A lot of Bucs fans are wondering if the Colts are going to trade down and maybe get a quarterback needy team jumps in there. I just don't think they're going to move anymore.
They've done their moves. I would stay at 6, and at 6, they're likely to take one of those 3 players that the Bucs are very interested in. I think the Colts are standing in the Buck way, maybe, of getting one of those big 3.
The difference is, like, and I mentioned this earlier, the Colts have much more dire need for offensive line than the Bucs do. Aside from the fact they have nobody on the offensive line, the Bucs do. The Colts have a damaged good quarterback. The Bucs don't, unless Jameis's shoulder has not repaired, which everything we've heard, that's not the case. Now, here's the thing. If the Colts are trying to trade back with a quarterback-needy team, if you're said quarterback-needy team, why wouldn't you trade instead with the Bucs? Colts aren't going to draft a quarterback, and it'd be cheaper to trade with the Bucs than it would be the Colts.
You would think so.
Theoretically.
This Andrew Luck stuff's out of control, Steve. It's out of control. I guess he went to the podium yesterday maybe in Indianapolis, and he hasn't thrown a football. He hasn't thrown the Duke. And let's face it. I mean, when you think of the Colts, all you think about is Andrew Luck. I mean, what else do they have?
Yeah, a crazy guitar-plucking owner.
And 2 or 3 years ago, most people thought that by the 2018 season, Andrew Luck was going to be the best quarterback in football if he wasn't already.
He was on his way.
And it's a real shame. what's happened with the shoulder. I mean, if you're a Colts fan, this is just miserable.
You
don't know. You still don't know whether this guy's going to be ready in week one. It's going on for far too long.
I got to ask you this. I bet this name doesn't ring a bell with Steve. I'm not trying to be obnoxious here. I'm just saying this. But you're an NFL historian. And I thought of this the other day about Andrew Luck. And he was one of my favorite quarterbacks. When the Bucs weren't playing, I'd watch the Colts because of Andrew Luck.
You're not thinking about Greg Cook and the Bengals.
Yes, I am.
Wow.
I thought of Greg Cook because he was a rising superstar.
Bill Walsh thought this guy was going to be fantastic. And Walsh was with the Bengals at that time, mm-hmm. working for Paul Brown. And Cook had a sensational rookie season. Sensational. He did it all. I don't know if you remember him, Steve. I mean,
year is this?
We're talking about, I think, 68 or 69. The last few years of the AFL, Cook burst on the scene. And Walsh was an assistant coach for Paul Brown. He was quoted at the time saying, I think Greg Cook has a chance to be one of the great quarterbacks in NFL history.
Wow.
And
that's coming from Bill Walsh.
And he was never the same.
My dad,
you hope this doesn't happen.
When I was a little kid, my dad was not a Bengals fan at all. But when I was a little kid, my dad talked about Greg Cook long before him and I ever heard of Bill Walsh. He goes, this guy was Roger Staubach, built like a Hercules. And he just went on and on about Greg Cook.
You know, later on they got Ken Anderson, who was a very good quarterback.
Yes, yes.
Yes, he was.
Interesting. Yeah, Lee was right. Never heard of him. Never heard of him there, Sage. How about that?
Well, I'm not sure you've heard of Salazzo from The Godfather either. have the veal. It's the best in the city.
You know,
that's a famous line from The Godfather.
What about Clemenza?
Clemenza. leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Yeah.
That's his favorite
line. I've almost got to disagree with you because I watched
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
No, I'm serious here. I watched the Andrew Luck press conferences. I've read a ton out of Indianapolis the last couple of days. I thought it sounded very uplifting.
Well, to listen to Andrew Luck, he's not going to downplay it.
When Andrew Luck said that, and I know this is irony, but when Andrew Luck said that he hasn't thrown a football yet, that to me, that was alarming.
Well,
that was alarming.
He sort of said that, you know, he's going overboard with his trainers to take everything extraordinarily ridiculously slow because he screwed that up last time. He sort of blamed himself by just ignoring, not being straight with his doctor's team and, yeah, bad patient. But he's been throwing smaller footballs to work on the motion. And
have you seen DeKemper throw a Nerf football? He looks like Johnny Unitas over here. We're talking about the Duke.
I understand. I don't know.
And just for our listeners, explain the Duke. You and I know it. Steve knows it.
The Duke's the name on the NFL football.
Named after?
Wellington Merritt.
Yes.
Wellington. Not John Wayne. Wellington Merritt.
Wellington Merritt.
John Wayne. All right.
Steve, all you've done in this podcast is tell us people that you never heard of, and you're exposing yourself.
Well, I know who John Wayne is.
Which you shouldn't do in Hooters.
All right, Ira, fanretreat.com. Fanretreat.com. That's your official Joe Bucks fan home for Lightning tickets, for Bucks tickets. Use your Joe Bucks fan code for a great discount. Shop there just like you would at a StubHub or somewhere else. They've got all the events, all the tickets, but you can also book your hotels. You can book your travel. You can book your plane fare. One-stop shop at fanretreat.com. They've got a lot of changes coming that are really exciting. We know about them. That's our man. We saw him behind the scenes. They're coming very soon. But still, fanretreat.com is there for you to get all your stuff done. And, of course, they'll be hosting and sponsoring and leading our trips with you on the road. Can't wait for that schedule to come out. The commission is probably going to be joining in.
If the first one's very successful, Steve, we might have more than one. I mean, you never know.
We'll see if there's enough beet salads to feed all these people. I don't know.
And Lee's got to meet Sean, too, because Lee wasn't there at that meeting at the Ritz.
Well, I don't want to screw up a good advertisement.
Well, I understand that. But this guy's a go-getter, Steve. He's aggressive. He's got a vision. He brings a lot of skills to the table, Sean. So
sound like you're going to draft him in the second round.
I'm excited.
Fanretreat.com. Check it out. Fanretreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. We love them over there. We're so excited for what's coming. People don't even know.
We're gonna make up for last year's Miami wipeout. We'll make up for it with an even better show.
It's going to be big. All right, Ira. I'm going to go right to because you said you wanted to comment on Donovan Smith. Now, it was in the news, was in the Tampa Bay Times. I wrote about it yesterday. Donovan Smith goes to Shepherd's Beach Resort. Unclear exactly where he was there. Probably the outdoor beachside bar known for their crazy Sunday party scene.
Had some people with him.
Had some family members with him. And it seems as if he went up to the host stand or wherever they greeted him and told him, sorry, you can't come in because you're wearing a jersey. We have a no jersey policy along with some other dress code policies. You take it from there and give us your opinion.
Well, I was kind of with Donovan Smith up to a point, Steve, when he said they didn't enforce the dress code evenly and consistently. You know, you tend to give Donovan Smith the benefit of the doubt. You made the point, Steve, and I can't argue with you, that sometimes you go in and they say you're not dressed properly, and you look inside, and some people are wearing the same things that you are, and yet they've been granted admittance. So I was kind of with Donovan Smith up to that point, saying, hey, maybe Smith's got a point here. He looked inside. People had jerseys on. And then the shoe dropped. It dropped yesterday morning. The racism card. The racism charge. I think it's unfortunate, Steve. I wish Donovan Smith didn't go there. I don't think he has a basis to levy that charge. I'd like to hear more from the Shepherds people. I think they need to respond to that. That's a heavy criticism. It's a lot bigger charge than you're not doing the dress code consistently. This is a hammer to put down. And, you know, I've been to Shepherds, and I know other people that have been to Shepherds. On the surface, I don't think the racism charge seems to have much worth behind it, because it's not lily white. On a weekend, you go in there, and it's racially diverse. It's a mixed group in there. So to say that he was denied entrance based on racial grounds, I think it's unfortunate. Steve, I want to know more about it. And I want to hear more from Shepherds. I don't think they should just let that thing lie because it's too serious a charge.
Whether we agree with you or not, I'd like to know, do you think should the Bucks get involved, right? Should the Bucks be proactive here to try to take a step toward making sure that the community is a great place for their players to live and to thrive, and to make sure that, no, that maybe there was not any racism involved, and if there was, to flush it out, open a conversation, and use their muscles for the greater good. Do you think the Bucks should get involved at all?
Lee, is this a scenario that you think people at One Buck Place are anxious to jump into? They're eager to jump into?
Yes.
Wow. I was going to say no.
And here's why, Ira. I don't know if Steve remembers this scenario. You remember this scenario. A couple years ago, Jameis was not permitted entrance to a eatery/drinking establishment because of dress code violations. Bucks security, matter of hours, called, what the hell's going on here? So I'd be very surprised if the Bucks security hasn't already been in contact with Shepherds, like, what's going on here? Now, what happens after that, your guess is as good as mine, but I'd be very, very, very surprised if this hasn't happened already.
Well, if they're going to probe something, I'd like them to start with the NFL investigation at the Jameis Winston. How about that probe before you get the Shepherds?
Ira, when you're at Hooters, you don't start a sentence with, if they're going to probe something. You just, come on, get with the program
this
here.
This is a very sensitive issue, Steve, because now you got the racial element involved. Lee, it's not just a dress code.
Well, that was sort of the case with Jameis, and I can't remember what establishment it was, but it was the same thing with Jameis a couple years ago, where there was an implication that was involved. I said Bucks security called. I know that.
Steve, I guess what I'm saying simply is, if you're going to hurl that charge, that heavy a charge about a racial element, you got to have something to back it up. And I, so far, I haven't seen what Donovan Smith's got to back it up. I don't see it.
Well, nobody's going to see it because it's a he said, she said thing. But you know what?
Unless there's video.
Unless there's video, but that's not going to have audio. So it's still a difficult.
Yeah, you still don't know what was said, exactly.
Right. I have to say this, Ira, you know, look, newspapers are on their way out, but we still have a newspaper in town. And the newspaper, they did a lousy job of flushing this story out. Get the owner of Shepherds on the phone. Get us some pictures. Show us exactly what it looks like.
Who's the clientele? What's going on?
You know, lay it out there. If you're going to put the charge out there and print it like they did, go all the way with it, you know. Let's learn as much as we possibly can, and then follow it up later.
So what you're saying is it's dangerous to lobby that charge against a well-known establishment without digging a little deeper. That's reckless in a sense.
Well, the newspaper wasn't reckless. They put it out there. I just thought it was weak that they didn't put out more information.
It's a real popular,
a deeper
place,
story.
Steve. Real popular place. Been around a long time. I expect to hear a little bit more out of Shepherds. I'll be disappointed if I don't. Because to me, the ball's in their court if Smith's going to tweet something like that.
If the management of Shepherds believes they've been wronged by this accusation, it's real simple. Go to Channel 8 with video and whatever evidence you have. Go to Channel 8.
This thing's probably going to die.
Channel 28 or whatever.
It's probably going to die, you know.
Hey, or the flip side, if shepherds can look into it more and fire somebody who they feel acted inappropriately. I think from a Buccaneers standpoint, you know, Donovan Smith's going into a contract year. Did it upset him enough? Maybe he's dealt with other perceived race issues or non-perceived actual race issues in town. Did it affect him enough where maybe he says, you know what, maybe I don't want to play in Tampa. I'm from New York. I went to Penn State. Maybe I'd rather go back up north.
Didn't think about it like that.
You know, that's why I would hope the Bucs would really dig into it because, you know, you want a great environment for your players.
I have to admit, that exact scenario crossed my mind last night. That I hope the Bucs would stick up for Donovan Smith, look into it, if nothing else, to show, hey, we got your back kind of thing. And I thought that, too, like Donovan Smith, like, I wouldn't have to put up with this crap in New York. Hell with this. I'll go play for the Jets. That did cross my mind.
That's a good point, Steve.
Yeah, and especially when you look at what Nate Solder somehow commanded, $15, $16 million in free agency, a guy who never made the Pro Bowl. I mean, Smith's going to break the bank. It's just a question of where. But, yeah, I want to be a fan of a team that goes to bat for its players and is, you know, plays it straight for them as best they can, you know, but is also real and honest with the fans, which we don't necessarily feel has happened with the Jameis investigation, but that's sticky, very, very sticky. Now, speaking of sticky, Ira.
Watch it. Look where we're talking from.
Continue.
speaking of sticky, Ira, you seemed interested in the story we had on JoeBucksFan.com. Pat Kerwin, a very renowned analyst.
I see him all the time at meetings, all the time, Kerwin. Yeah, Super Bowls, NFL owners meetings.
You know, it's funny. Some of the fans, some of the commenters on JoeBucksFan.com, they're like, oh, Pat Kerwin, well, he didn't even work for winning organizations. And what does it have to do with anything? Kerwin was a coach. He was a personnel executive. He's probably the most active guy in NFL sports media with the stuff he does for CBS, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, online. And
Lives in Naples. Watches the Florida teams closely.
Full-time with Sirius XM NFL. Best host on their network for sure.
And very tight with John Gruden, by the way.
Very tight with a lot of coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
Tight with Mike Smith. Talks to all the coaches. Goes to training camp tour. He's at probably a dozen training camps a year. He's been with the Bucs. And he came out and said that NFL investigations, that he shared a story from when he was with the Jets that he was calling up all the time. They had a cornerback. He didn't give the name. A cornerback who was in some trouble. He said he was hounding the league, and the league blew him off constantly. And he said, okay, I talked to my team president. This was the kicker, Lee. I don't know if you caught this.
Team president, yeah.
The team president of the Jets at the time, Kerwin said, I used to go to the team president and say, hey, you visit the NFL headquarters all the time as Jets team president in town. Why don't you go ask some people, since you're there, hound, find out what's going on. And the Jets team president at NFL headquarters got nowhere. So Kerwin said, hey, look, the Bucs aren't going to get anywhere with this thing. The league's doing what it does, and they're probably being more careful than ever because they've had too many screw-ups.
He also, Steve, didn't he suggest between the lines that there's motivations, there's a timing motivation with hearings and the NFL? Basically, I think what Kerwin was saying was that they could have wrapped this thing up in January, and they're not going to announce it until August. Now, did I read that wrong? I mean, they have their own timetable, whether it's fair to the organization involved or not. And that was a cornerback, not a quarterback. That was a cornerback. Lee, we're beating the drum on this thing. Some Buck fans think we should let it lie. Why are we talking about this? Well, I don't think us talking about it is going to affect the NFL investigation. You know, it's not. We're not rooting for Winston to get nailed here.
No.
We're just saying clarity. This thing's hanging over the team.
Yeah, I just want clarity. That's all. You know, I think Mike Florio is right. For those who don't know Mike Florio, first off, I apologize for you. Second off, he is the curator, creator, and overall guru of ProFootballTalk.com. He told you, Ira Kaufman, when you appeared on his TV show, seen by intelligent NFL fans, weekday mornings on NBC Sports Radio, or NBC Sports Network. I got enough ads, free ads here.
That's
for the
enough,
guy.
Baby.
NFL, it's a PR thing. It's not a legal thing. They'll let it loose when they want to let it loose, when they have all their ducks in a row. But I've been saying this for weeks. I'll say it again. If Bucks fans think the Glazers can have pull over this, you're sadly mistaken. If Robert Kraft couldn't bury the Tom Brady flattened footballs, Deflategate, and if Jerry Jones couldn't help Ezekiel Elliott, and those are arguably the two most powerful owners in the NFL, Glazers have no shot.
You know, Steve, I'm not sure it's a stretch to even suggest that the uncertainty over the Winston investigation and the eventual outcome and decision could be affecting them at the turnstile a little bit right now with the season ticket renewals. Is that a stretch, Steve, to say that he even could have some financial ramifications beyond even the football ramifications?
A thousand seats.
I don't know. I mean, you don't know.
Maybe. 1,000 seats here or there. It doesn't really matter. We'd never be able to quantify it. Look, I just look at it as Jameis is human, right? He's 24. He's human. If this thing's hanging over his head, how could it not affect him? How could he not think about it?
We've heard from Glazer, Cutter, and Light about the word frustration. Can you imagine what the word is from Winston?
Exactly. So I want it resolved quickly. One, because there's no reason not to resolve it quickly. And two, it's best for Jameis, best for the team, best for the fans. If there is going to be backlash,
best for the NFL.
Deal with it early. Yeah, best. Well, maybe not best for the NFL based on their timing and all of their nonsense.
What I mean by that, best for the NFL, whatever way they decide to get it over with. If he was guilty, then hammer him, which makes the NFL look good.
Now,
if he's innocent, it makes the NFL look good because one of their potential star player, a high-profile player, has been wrongly accused. So in that respect, good for the NFL.
Steve, speaking of Kerwin and his diatribe, so to speak, he weighed in on Winston, and I think he's leaving open the question of, at this point, whether Winston is deserved of a big contract down the line. And by down the line, I'm not talking about 5 years from now. I'm talking about like a year from now. Lee, it's a $130 million question. It's a hell of a question. And I think it suggests that Winston better have a hell of a year this year to convince the Bucks that he's the guy. I think it's still an open question.
Yeah, well, Kerwin is down on Jameis. And Steve's got other information, but Kerwin,
You're the guy who came up with that thing about the first 4 years of a quarterback not making the playoffs.
That's Steve.
Or Steve.
Not that he's wrong.
Research,
he's right.
Steve. Well, and so, you know, history's going against Winston.
Kerwin was turned off by Jameis when Kerwin and Jim Miller, his co-host on Moving the Chains, Sirius XM NFL Radio, they always do their training camp tour, and they didn't come down here for Lovey at all. I don't think there was any love lost between Kerwin and Lovey. Kerwin came down for at least a day. With the Bucs in training camp, he was very turned off by Jameis. He thought Jameis was all shtick, all force.
This is last summer?
Yeah, this past August. He was very turned off by Jameis. And he kept it to himself. And then Jameis obviously had a rugged year, injury notwithstanding until January when he got healthy. And so Kerwin's done with Jameis. He's very, very bearish on Jameis.
I'm not. I still believe in Winston. I think he's got a very bright future in this league, but he still has a lot to prove, Steve. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, and to me, that's my favorite part of this season is it's do or die in a lot of ways for Jameis. I believe he certainly can do it, but it's all right there now. There's no more. This is it. This is it. Rondé Barber said it. It's fourth year. It's time. Everything's there for him. Tony Dungy, Ira, was on local sports radio last week. I wrote this up on Wednesday. Dungy was on. And a talk was asked about Jameis. And Dungy made a great point, really great point. He said, you know, I don't know if he should have been playing hurt or not, if they should have sat him earlier, or if they should have, how they should have handled the injury differently. That's, we'll never know. But Dungy said, what I do know is that playing through that injury was extraordinarily valuable for Jameis in his maturity and in his development and learning how to deal with that. And all those reps were very valuable, and Dungy said because of that, that he had really like a full year on the field, and he's looking for a massive season from Jameis this year because he believes it's all there. Jameis just has to show that he can do it. And you remember Dungy when he coached the Bucks, right? They'd score 9 points, the offense would be horrible, and Dungy would say, "We didn't execute." He was always just execution. Everything's fine. We just didn't block the guy well. Execution. And that's really where it is for Jameis right now. He's got to execute.
You know, Lee, to add on to what Dungy's points were about Jameis Winston playing through that injury. Lee, you were sitting there, right there, with Steve and I when we talked to Joel Glazer a couple weeks ago in Orlando. And, Lee, you heard Glazer talk about Winston. He didn't use the word courage, but the toughness of Winston to play through the injury. And I think Joel even, you know, he intimated that, you know, maybe there were a couple of games he shouldn't have played. I believe that was the intimation. But nevertheless, that's not on Winston. The fact that he did play through it, I think, really impressed ownership going forward. I think that's a feather in Winston's cap as far as ownership's concerned.
Well, I think even the Jameis haters have to admit, he has all the intangibles you want. You know, he'll work his rear end off. He'll try to play through an injury. I mean, it's all right there. He's everything, whatever it takes to win. It's just the results aren't there. The heart, the attitude, that's everything you want in a quarterback.
The intangibles.
Yeah, the intangibles are all there. Everything you'd ever want in a quarterback, he's got the intangibles. It's the results that aren't there yet.
Ira, I'm going to quote somebody who is a friend of yours, and you're going to laugh, but I'm going to save the name. But I believe the same thing, so I'm going to say it from me first. I don't see the intangibles of Jameis with the leadership. Where is it? This team went in the toilet last year, and the jury's still out on the leadership. A lot of nonsense. I understand it's been a lot been put on his shoulders as a rookie coming in, and he was 23 last year, but was the leadership there last year? Did he cure some of these issues around him? I don't think so.
The results weren't there. The results weren't there.
Ian Beckles is who I'm going to quote, Ira. He was on his recent podcast saying, look, he said, you could really make the case. There are no leaders on the Bucs, right? You don't have leaders on crappy teams like that. He said, I played on crappy teams. I wouldn't say we had great leadership. Basically, you know, we keep putting leadership label on Winston, leadership label on McCoy. There's a band of losers. These guys got to figure out how to win, and then we'll call them leaders. You buy into that?
Most of my impetus for calling, for saying that Winston has outstanding leadership skills at a young age is based on what I hear from his teammates. And I go back to veterans. I've said it before in a podcast. I think this is the crucial point. Logan Mankins and Vincent Jackson are nobody's fools. They had seen it all. They had played in big games. And they're not going to go out of their way to talk up Winston. And by the way, I think Winston was a rookie that year that I'm talking about. You know, Logan Mankins had no reason to manufacture quotes about Jameis Winston that he didn't believe in. He's not the type to do that. And you know Vincent Jackson also. Not easily impressed, Vincent Jackson. Had seen it all, played with very good quarterbacks in San Diego, had Rivers. When two veterans, grizzly veterans, talk about Winston as a rookie, the way he was and how inspiring he was to them and got them going in a huddle, that always has stayed with me. That always has now, if Chris Godwin's talking about Winston, that's something different. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
But Logan Mankins is not Mr. Hyperbole. And I believe when Mankins says something about Winston, that has credence with me.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Now, I don't know if I'm getting into semantics or not. Initially, I want to say, were these guys talking about his leadership skills or that they liked him? I might be getting splitting
semantics.
I think they
were talking about
here.
His competitiveness.
Okay. Well, I think I could say this because the guy's no longer with the Bucs. People can read in this what they want. They want to call it leadership, or they want to call it...
Don't you dare quote Daquan Bowers, my friend. Don't you quote Daquan Bowers.
Not Bowers wasn't even on the team with Winston, was he?
Continue, not again.
At any rate, Bucs are playing in Indianapolis. Bucs got killed. Or in the second half, they got killed. It was a competitive game. They got killed in the second half. I go in the locker room. Usually, Jameis is agreeable, for lack of a better word. Even after a loss in the locker room, he'll say hi to you. You can tell he's hacked off. Not this game. Had his head buried in his hands. I don't know if he was crying or not. You could tell. You could just see the steam rising above his head. He wanted to choke somebody. He really wanted to punch somebody. He was irate. And I tried to, you know, I saw that. And sometimes you just know, like, okay, I'll leave him alone. Usually in a locker room after a game, even a loss, I'll make eye contact, but nod. Maybe I'll say hi to Jameis or whatever. Not this time. I knew better. Well, what Steve's talking about, you know, is Jameis the leader or not? And I didn't know at that time. I didn't know it was all BS,
right,
drummed up by the team. I had no idea. So I go up to Clinton McDonald, and I said, Clinton, I keep hearing about, this is off the record, Clinton, I keep hearing Jameis is such a leader. I don't know. You guys are losing. Level with me. What kind of player, what's going on here? He looks at me, and he stares at my name tag, you know, your media pass. He goes, okay, now I know who I'm speaking with. If I ever see this in print, I'm coming after you. I said, fair enough. And I showed my tape recorder. I said, I'm shutting my tape recorder
this
off.
It's quite an introduction over here, Steve.
I'm putting my pen in my pocket, my notebook in my pocket. I just want to know, me and you. I've never seen Clinton McDonald animated, ever, except for this time. He looks at me, and he starts pointing wildly at Jameis. And mind you, he's on the other side of the locker room from Jameis. He starts pointing wildly at Jameis, at Jameis' locker room. And he looks at me, and he didn't yell, but very sternly, like, we needed that guy. He said it twice. Like, whoa. Now, what he meant by that, I don't know. But he was, like, pointing wildly at Jameis, glared right at me, goes, we needed that guy.
Steve, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, you
can and that's a guy who has a ring, by the way.
You can criticize the turnovers. You can criticize some bad decisions. You can criticize red zone lacking, and that's in part on Winston. But I don't think it's fair at this point to question his competitiveness and his leadership. I've seen enough from the man. Guard.
Just to clarify, I'm not questioning the competitiveness, and I think it's the table is set right here for Jameis, fourth year with the coordinator.
And you're saying with another running back or without another running back?
All the weapons, all the returning receivers, better running backs by default, even if they don't get another one, which they will.
Better offensive line.
Better offensive line. It's all there for Jameis this year, which makes it so much fun. Just go out there and produce. The leadership, we'll see. We're going to see if it this year will say a lot for his leadership.
Questions you have, Steve.
Stop it.
Those are legitimate questions you have, because where was the leadership last year when Swaggy Baker's doing his spit antics? The second last game of the season, he was finally confronted. Come on, where was that? Where was that in September?
All right, Ira, now we are going to hear from the commish on the amazing draft party just 2 weeks away.
The 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party is coming up fast, April 26th and 27th. It's a two-night event, but that first night, it's going to be wild. We've got a $20 all-you-can-eat buffet, 2,500-square-foot tent outside, a huge HD LED screen to show the draft, and a DJ pumping tunes all night to keep the party going all night long. We will have giveaways sporadically throughout the night and a major announcement. If you're a Bucks fan, you are going to want to be in attendance for this big announcement we will have that Thursday night. Again, two-night event. It's April 26th and 27th at the Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa off of Southdale Mabry. Join me, Justin Pulowski, the commish, for the 2018 Miller Lite Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. And speak softly and carry that big mother boom, you dump a stick.
How cool is that, Ira? The $20 buffet. Let me just explain this to people. $20 buffet starts at 6 o'clock, and it goes all the way till midnight. So you know how much damage you can do on 20 bucks?
You know how many times they're going to come back to that table and grab another plate?
All you do, you get a wristband, and there's going to be wraps and all different kinds of wings, boneless, nonstop, and other stuff on the buffet as well. Absolutely amazing. Indoor, outdoor, think block party. It's going to be absolutely sick. All the details at joebucksfan.com. Now, Ira, of course, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Check out EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And the new great offers are right there on our website at Joe Bucks Fan. You can see them there in the upper right corner. Ira, I thought this was funny. I mentioned it to Lee before the podcast. Isn't it funny how NFL executives, they get very touchy about their own players on their roster? Everybody's great. Everybody's this. Everybody's that. But these same executives or coaches, they're very quick to say, well, half of these guys in the draft bust out. They're busts. You know, it's 50-50. It's a crapshoot. But then if you criticize one of the guys, all of a sudden they get tense. Isn't that ironic?
It's ironic, and it also creates a little buffer for them, Lee, when they screw up. And I'm not saying they're inaccurate, because there's a high bust factor. There's a high bust factor, as Austin Seferian Jenkins will attest to, and Daquan Bowers, and Savvy Piscatelli, and a whole Ooh. And a whole host of other.
You're really going downhill as the name drops.
And Steve, I'm not trying to say that the Bucks have more busts than other teams, because for a while they did, and that's why they sucked. That's why guys weren't getting signed to second contracts, Lee, because guys they drafted didn't deserve second contracts. And that's a good bellwether. There's your word, bellwether. And Glazer's always mentioning that, and I've written about it many times. That's what ownership looks at as a big, big factor about whether your arrow's going up or not. So even though they stumbled to a 5-11 year, you know, they added a couple more guys that, you know, might end up with second contracts. You never know. Justin Evans, you never know. He showed some stuff. I'm not willing to call him the next, Landon Collins or Ronnie Lott, but he's got potential. You know, Beckwith slowed down at the end of the year. But, you know, for 10 or 11 weeks, Beckwith was a damn good rookie. Damn good. And, you know, he might have hit that college wall. But I don't have any reasons to think Beckwith's not going to have a good season in 2018. So there's a huge bust factor.
Sure. And of course, if you flash back a year ago, you'd say, I have no reason to think Vernon Hargraves is going to have a bad year.
Oh, or I don't know about that. I don't know about that a year ago. I wasn't down
on him at all.
You weren't down on him at all?
Hmm.
With Mr. 10-yard cushion, you aren't down on that?
Well, that's not his call. That's the coach's.
And why are they making that call? Well, because they don't think he can play press coverage.
I doubt that, but that you just you're feeding into my theory that I don't think the Bucks can develop rookie corners.
And there it is, Steve. There it is. And the streak continues.
Well,
baby.
I saved
this. Is like Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak. 56 straight podcasts.
Well, I saved it. This time I saved it toward the end of the podcast for a new twist on it.
Right? Oh, you got a twist. Yeah, well, look at this.
It's the only thing that's not crossed out.
I'm gonna drop one on you, Ira. You know how much I admire your vocabulary.
Absolutely.
You might be impressed with this.
Let me hear it.
I actually get verklempt talking about the Bucks and their defensive coach's inability to develop a corner.
You can't spell it, and neither can this.
V-E-R-K-L-E-M-P-T.
Very nice. Now, what's this twist you
well,
got?
Well, here's a wrinkle for you, which I think is interesting.
When in a sports podcast, you use the word verklempt.
That's good stuff, baby.
A little interesting wrinkle. Now, if you study the draft and what might happen, I like to look at it differently as far as what teams might do versus and some of the trends we see, what they did and didn't versus the players, right? So you look at Green Bay. Green Bay might be the only team in the NFL that's more desperate for cornerbacks than the Bucks. Desperate. They don't have a Brent Grimes there. And what they got after that is very similar to the Bucks.
Aren't they resurrecting Tre'Mon Williams?
Yeah, they're resurrecting him.
And they don't have the seventh pick either. So they're in even more dire
Exactly,
trade.
And they're desperate for at corners. So you look at them, and they haven't touched Robert McClain, who's still out there in free agency. They haven't touched the other guys, the Dominic Rogers Cromartie, the Pac-Man Jones, the other names that are out there who can play the position, the Leonard Johnsons, the Sterling Moores.
That's a rogues gallery.
What a gallery.
Jonathan Banks is coaching high school football right now. Way to go, Mark Dominic. So
you know what? I thought Banks was going to be a good player. I got to admit.
Yeah,
I got that one wrong.
Fell off.
I got that one wrong. I don't know what happened.
It's hard to say.
But he was responsible.
Lovey happened.
He was responsible for one of the greatest lines I've ever heard come out of one Buck place. And you might have been standing there, Lee. It was training camp or something. He was coming off an injury. I said, hey, are you going to be able to overcome, that ankle problems and this thing? He goes, Ira, I overcame MRSA. That was a beautiful line by Jonathan Banks. But Lee's right. He looked pretty good. I think he had four picks.
Well, my favorite was Revis got hurt against the Lions, and they put Banks on Chad Johnson, and he shut him down. And then Lovey comes in, and he never was the same.
You wonder if there's more to the story about Jonathan Banks. You just wonder about work ethic or something. I don't know.
It's funny. If you go to YouTube, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson.
Chad, my guy.
Calvin Johnson.
Yes. Forgive me for – oh, my gosh. No, not
Who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah,
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson was fantastic. Yes.
So if you go to YouTube and you Google, I think, Shiano and speech and Lions.
Only you would Google it.
You're going to find. That's because I'm not watching movies, Ira. You're
not listening to the Allman Brothers.
There you go. So if you Google Shiano, Lions, and whatever.
Speech.
You're going to see the post-game speech of Greg Schiano in the locker room after that game when Jonathan Banks shut down Calvin Johnson. The Bucks won. I think it was their fourth in a row.
Wasn't that a game where the Lions just made unbelievable mistakes? The bumbling Lions.
Yeah, they played like the Bucks.
The Bucks won. They played well on the road. I think it brought him to like 4-9 or something like that. Shiano's going wild, and he's on a chair.
Oh, I remember that now.
It's really funny. But seriously, Iris, so Green Bay.
So he was praising Banks after the game.
You just have to watch the video. I'll just leave it at that. So my point is that there are teams desperate for corners out there. There are other teams who need corners. There's apparently, I guess, nobody likes what's left in free agency. The Bucks need a starting corner. They need a rookie.
Who says they need only one? That's
well,
being
this
kind.
This is my point here. Yeah. The Bucks need a rookie to start, unless they have some sort of trick up their sleeve for a trade. Now, I was holding out hope because a lot of teams, like with new coaches, like the Raiders, they reported already to practice, and a lot of times there are last minute signings and last minute cuts. Before guys get to that first practice, they want all the guys in the building. But still no moves, and here we are. The Bucks are desperate probably for two corners in the draft, which is going to make Lee jump into the Withlacoochee River
and
here.
And Lee, what does it say about a guy who played a lot of snaps for the Bucks last year, McClain? A lot of snaps. And here's 31 other teams that have no interest in this guy?
Well,
zero?
That tells me
he can't be a fourth corner?
Well, I'm being very fair when I say this. And this, again, reinforces my point. I think that speaks well to the Bucks coach's ability to get the most out of a veteran corner, not a rookie corner. You're talking about Robert McClain. I will say this, gentlemen. If Jason Light drafts a corner and you fill in the blank, whatever his name, whether it be Derek Ward, or not Derek Ward, but Denzel Ward, or whether it be Josh Jackson, you fill in the blank. If he drafts a corner at number 7, especially if Barkley's on the board, the very next morning, I'm driving down to St. Jude's Apostle Parish in St. Petersburg, the seat of the Diocese of St. Petersburg, and I'm lighting 2 candles. One, I'm going to light a candle for the soul of that cornerback that he got his degree and is already prepared for post-football life, number 1. And number 2, I'm going to light a candle for Jason Light that he has a job next year.
And I'll say number 3, Steve. If that happens, and I think that's crazy, I don't think there's a chance in the world that he would pass up Barkley for a cornerback, unless he thinks Denzel Ward is the next Deion Sanders, and he's not. I'll tell you the third thing that would happen. If that crazy thing happened, Joe Bucks fan would break all records for hits and looks, because the fans would be in an uproar. The stick carriers would be carrying torches, not sticks.
Well, Ira, I think you're totally wrong on that, Ira.
Totally wrong?
Yes, because first
Denzel
of all...
Denzel Ward over Saquon Barkley? As a plausible scenario?
Ira, I have evidence. I have evidence. You have...
Lee, I got to hear this.
Now, look, Ira, we ran a poll on JoeBucksFan.com. Unless you're a Looney Tune, you really can't vote twice. And some people probably do.
They probably do.
But you got more than 1,500
but
responses,
not many,
by the way.
And, 24 hours, 1,500 votes, 1,600, really, if you're rounding off. 16% out of the fans, 16.45%, they want a cornerback in the first round. Only 1 in 4 fans, 1 in 4 hardcore Bucks fans, wants a running back.
Gentlemen, that's because they think Barkley's going to be gone. That's the reason.
No, that wasn't the poll question, Ira.
Here's
the poll question, Ira. What position do you want the Bucks to draft in round 1? Only 25% said running back. So you know what? The fans are going to love it if they take, in general, most fans are going to love almost whoever they would pick, unless they do something Aguayo-esque.
You see how he twists things around, Lee? You see how he does it? He doesn't tell you is that running back won the poll. They won the poll with 25%. It won the poll. So you don't say that, Steve, but it's, only 1 of 4, but, there's all these different positions. See, when I have knowledge, Steve, when I don't have the facts, that you don't want me to have, then I come in and zap you.
Are you saying he should be working for Nancy Pelosi?
Wait a minute. Didn't Bill Clinton win the presidency with 42% of the vote that year?
Steve, I'm going to ask you a direct question. Is there any chance in your mind that Jason Light, sitting at 7 and staying at 7, with Barkley on the board, would take Denzel Ward? Is there any chance of that?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm just giving you a straight answer. I believe so, yeah. Ira, I didn't mean to give you guys heart failure here. I saw the looks on your faces.
I still can't believe it.
I didn't say I would do it or that I want a cornerback over Saquon Barkley. However, do I think the regime would do it? Yes, the same regime that drafted a kicker and traded up to get him. Same regime that already has drafted a cornerback very high in the draft. Same group that allowed itself to not get a cornerback in free agency, and there were plenty out there this year, plenty, from Aaron Colvin to expensive guys and all sorts of guys in between. So do I think they would do it? Yeah.
It's the same organization that claimed that they wanted Dalvin Cook so bad they were doing backward somersaults, but they never did get him. The same organization with one of the deepest drafts in the NFL waited until the 5th round to draft a guy who can't figure out a playbook, but he can block.
Here's my point, guys. I think this is inarguable. I'll throw that out to you, although, Steve doesn't need much to argue. This point is inarguable.
Look, he's writing it down.
You know what? If there was a tremendous receiver or a tremendous linebacker still sitting there at number 7 and the Bucks passed him by, I would understand it. You could make an argument. But, Lee, even though they're desperate at cornerback, it's not like they don't need a running back. So, unless you think Barkley is going to be a bust, I think that's what you're saying. He's not worth the 7 pick. Apparently. That's what you're saying. Because when need meets rating, you jump on it. And I don't understand this thing about not taking Barkley at 7. I just don't get it.
Well, Barkley's as good as what NFL people say he is. You can get away with not having a cornerback because you're going to be playing keep away. You're going to have ball control. You're going to have time of possession.
Well, Ira, I won't go that far. They need a cornerback.
Ira, this is not confusing, Ira. It is really not confusing. If the Buccaneers believe they can get an excellent running back in the 2nd round, if they believe that, now not me, if they believe that, damn it, we can get this guy or that guy, then that same yawning, you like to use that word, that same yawning need is even greater – for a cornerback, and that's why I think they might do it.
Well, let me flip it on you, because first of all, you don't know that you can get that running back because you don't know who's going to be off the board if you wait until late in the first round or second round. Here's the way I'll flip it, Lee. If Barkley's a 9.0 on your rating board and Denzel Ward's an 8.2, you take Barkley. Yeah. Well, there's no discussion. There's no discussion. You're the guy that says they got to get a running back, Steve. You've been leading the chance.
You asked me what I thought they would do, and I don't have a lot of faith in their decision-making when it comes to running back. We've been over this for a long time. They might think Peyton Barber can carry the load.
Boy, what
you
a
think
way.
Dirk Cutter's going
to... What a way to end this podcast.
You think
Steve.
Dirk Cutter's on his knees bowing for a rookie running back? You're out of your mind. Two quick ones, Ira. What? Two quick things.
All right, go ahead.
These are just fun little nuggets. Lee brought up Snoop Dogg McPlaybook, Jeremy McNichols. At the owners' meetings, at the NFL owners' meetings, I did go up to talk to John Lynch specifically about Snoop Dogg. And
Lynch says, Steve, I wish you were doing my presentation instead of Kaufman.
So I asked John Lynch about McNichols, who's on the 49ers. Yeah, basically, the only thing Lynch said was, he's still on my roster, isn't he? And he has sort of.
That ain't no ringing endorsement.
That's what he said. So he's still on my roster, isn't he? So that was his response. Also, Ira, your Chiefs are in the news. Chiefs are in the news. You know who they signed? Former Buccaneers tight end Tim Wright.
Yeah, they did.
Is now
they
with
did.
The Chiefs.
So he's backing up Travis Kelce. He's not going to get a lot of playing time, but they might use two tight ends once in a while.
It's a pretty cool story. Tim Wright was out of football last year. He had some injuries before that.
You know, his future looked bright 3 years ago, Tim Wright.
This guy's got a Super Bowl ring. A Super Bowl ring. He had a great year. Really good guy, and I hope he has a lot of success.
Belichick obviously wanted him, right, that year, Tim Wright. I mean, for Mankins. And I don't think Wright played bad for the Patriots. I don't think he played bad.
He had like 7 touchdowns, and he won a Super Bowl, and he was a key cog.
In limited time.
He was a key cog. Very interesting there. All right, Sage, look, we've got more podcasts coming next week. Should be super exciting because we'll be back at One Buck Palace.
That's right.
Just got word we might have a guest. We'll see how that goes. We don't want to jinx anything.
And we might have the schedule next
and
week.
Somehow,
you never know.
Somehow we got out of this podcast without talking about 50 and 40-year-old music. We did pretty well.
There you go. Take care, baby.